We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Friday night into the 10 o'clock hour. I'm sitting in for John Chuckery. So glad you've been with me tonight. And my goodness, we're getting you all ready for a holiday weekend. We're still going to celebrate our independence. We're still going to celebrate this 4th of July, but a little differently than normal. One thing that will be happening, there will be racing. A NASCAR will be racing, not in the normal place, but at the Brickyard, not at Daytona, what we normally have when this time of year rolls around. And joining us now to talk about that and more on the waitforit.com hotline, friend of the show, Adam Alexander. Adam, it's nice to talk to you, especially at this time of the night. Usually I'm talking to you at O-Dark 30 in the morning.
Sam, usually the last question I ask you when you invite me to be on is what time, because I'm always afraid I'm going to miss the wake-up call because it is early in the morning, and tonight you're catching me on the late night, and so that's perfect for me, and great to be with you on this holiday weekend.
Great to have you with me, and my goodness, first things first, let's start with the big news today. Jimmy Johnson. Testing positive, and you know, you've heard about all the other sports. We've heard about all the other sports and the positive tests. I haven't heard about that so much with NASCAR, but man, if it's going to hit someone, to hit your seven-time champion, and he's not going to be able to race this week. Talk a little bit about it and how you found out about it.
I was just visiting with some guys that were working from the track today, and of course, anytime there's news like this that surfaces, especially in the day and age we live in now with social media and so on, word is going to travel quickly. And so I got a couple of phone calls, friends of mine, those that work in the industry, that let me know, you know, what they had heard, and by the time that information had gotten to me, it was all over social media, and it was official. There were no rumors. I mean, by the time I read about it late in the afternoon, it was a done deal, and everyone knew that Jimmy had, in fact, tested positive and wouldn't be racing this weekend. And, you know, you don't want this to happen to anybody, certainly. But I think when you look at Jimmy's situation, his final year, you know, almost 700 consecutive starts to begin his career, he's never missed a race since November of 2001, and then, you know, came back in 2002 and ran for Rookie of the Year and has not missed a race since, the seven championships that you mentioned. And Indianapolis is the track we're scheduled to race at Sunday, and he's had so much success there. And so when you put it all together, you hate to see Jimmy be the first driver to miss a race because of COVID. I will say this, there's no one better equipped to handle it and put it all in perspective like Jimmy can, and he already has with the statement he released. But disappointing news for sure, because I think there were a lot of people looking forward to Jimmy making his last trip to Indianapolis in a stock car this weekend.
Yes, that's the case. Talk about this racing team, because he's been having some great runs in recent weeks since coming back from this pandemic, and it gave you reason to say one of these weeks he's going to get it right and he's going to pull off that win.
They certainly have been knocking on the door, and you've got to be close if you're going to have a chance to win. Rarely in NASCAR do you just luck up one week and have what it takes, and they have certainly been putting together the runs they need to be in contention. And I have felt like a number of times this year that they had a car that could win if the circumstances played out and they had the strategy go their way and so on. So you felt like it was a matter of time before he ended the winless streak. And what they were doing along the way, even though they weren't winning, they were running very consistently and always a player, accumulating a lot of points. And they had put themselves in a great position from a points perspective to make the playoffs. Of course, Jimmy missed the playoffs last year, first time he had ever missed out on the postseason since he was a rookie in 2002. And everyone felt like, man, it'd be a great thing in his final year if he could make the playoffs. And they were going to do that, I feel certain. I mean, we're closing on 10 races to go into regular season. And now this jeopardizes that. I don't know that he'll fall out after Sunday's race. It'll depend on what some of those guys below the cut line do. And I don't know how long he'll have to stay out. I had heard 10 days. I had heard 2 weeks. I've also heard that the standard protocol is to meet CDC guidelines, and then you must have 2 consecutive negative tests that can't be taken within 24 hours of one another. But I think there's a possibility that he could miss Indianapolis and Kentucky. And if that were the case, you know, at some point he could be in a must-win situation if he's going to make the playoffs. NASCAR has already said he will get a waiver, so he'll be playoff eligible if he qualifies, even though he's missing these races. But there are so many angles to this story, and unfortunately it all creates plenty of adversity for Jimmy Johnson.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this evening, I'm used to saying in the morning with this guy, this evening with Adam Alexander. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam1Alexander. And is your host, of course, is your host for Race Hub weeknights on FS1. We talked about this last year and the excitement of the 2020 schedule and the things that it had to offer. And we've seen it. We've seen some primetime racing. We've seen some different things take place. This weekend is one of those different things. Usually we're at Daytona on this weekend of July 4th, at the 4th of July holiday. That is different. And we're going to be there at the same time as IndyCar. Thoughts about that and what that represents and what that means?
The folks at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway have been very outspoken about what this weekend creates and the message that it could send, the buzz maybe that it can put in motorsports across the board to in the future have these IndyCar, NASCAR, doubleheader, tripleheader weekends, which is what we'll have tomorrow and Sunday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You'll have the IndyCars running the road course. You'll have the Xfinity cars running the road course. And then on Sunday, the Cup cars will be on the oval with their traditional 400-mile event at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I like that. I think it's a cool concept. And, you know, it's unfortunate the fans are not going to be in Indy this weekend, because I feel like one of the things that has hurt the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with their NASCAR event in recent years is they run later in the season. Last year, I felt like they were impacted by the start of the NFL season. And so there was just not the life that we needed in that event to equal success. And I felt like going there 4th of July weekend, there was an opportunity to really reintroduce yourself to the fans and hopefully create a great atmosphere that would really help stock car racing, raise its validity once again at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And because there are no fans this weekend, we'll have to wait until next year to see where the fans are with the new setup in regard to schedule. But I do like that this move to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on July 4th weekend, and all of that creates the regular season finale being at Daytona. So I feel like this is a win-win on the schedule when you look at things.
Thoughts about what we may see this weekend. First of all, it is the first time the Xfinity Series has run there. And talk about Chase Briscoe, what he's been able to do, and the challenges that he's faced even through that to come out and perform the way he has so far this year.
He's had a lot on his plate this year, there's no doubt. He announced in January, as he got ready for his second full season in the Xfinity Series, Chase Briscoe did, about the fact that he felt like the big three are gone. They've moved to Cup, and he needed to win 8 to 10 races if he was going to create the awareness and have the recognition he needed to stay as someone who had a chance to advance in NASCAR, and he's won 4 of the first 12 races and maybe could have won a couple of others if things had gone his way. Atlanta comes to mind, the first race at Miami. He was pretty good at Bristol for a period of time. And so, you know, you don't want to do the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but when you consider he's won 4 of 12 and he could have won at least 2 more, it speaks to where he is with his race team and just how talented he is. And you go to this weekend, he's an Indiana kid, and everybody wants to win at Indianapolis. And I think when you're from Indiana, it just makes it even more special. And maybe another layer of that is the fact that he grew up a diehard Tony Stewart fan. And his crew chief this weekend will be Greg Zipidelli, who was on the box for Tony when he won two championships. And that's a product of Richard Boswell. His normal crew chief is suspended. You think about Tony winning at Indy and kissing the bricks and climbing the fence. Chase has said he will do the same. But there is little doubt right now. He's the hottest driver on the sport. He's dealt with some challenging issues away from the track with his wife, Marissa. But he's a great young man, a great representative of NASCAR and the Xfinity Series, and I would expect he'll be someone we're talking about throughout that race tomorrow.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline tonight, Adam Alexander from FS1 and Fox NASCAR coverage joining us now, getting a set. Okay, we talked about everything else but Cup. Who are we watching? Who you have your eyes on as favorites there at the Brickyard on Sunday?
I think the two drivers that we've been talking about so much in recent weeks will be at the front of the field quite a bit on Sunday. Denny Hamlin, who got his fourth win of the season Sunday at Pocono. Kevin Harvick, who won the Saturday race there. It was his third win of the season. Harvick's a two-time winner in Indianapolis, and including a year ago. He's never finished outside the top 10 in the last 6 years since he joined Stewart Haas. I like Harvick. Hamlin has not won at Indianapolis, but he's led a bunch of laps there, and he's been good enough to get it done. Things have just never fallen his way. You can look at Kyle Busch, the reigning champ. He still has not won this year, which is shocking, but he's been very good at Indianapolis, winning a couple of times there. And you look at storylines. This is the first big race weekend for Roger Penske as the owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We had the blind draw for the starting lineup yesterday, and who's starting on the pole? One of the captain's drivers in Joey Logano, who has enjoyed great success at Indianapolis despite the fact that he's not been able to win there. So there's a few drivers, but this is a race that always has a number of different twists and turns just because strategy can play such a big role. It's going to be hot in Indianapolis on Sunday, which I think could be a factor for these drivers. But I think, as always, when you look at the crown jewels, you look at those drivers who have always delivered on the big stage, and I think some of the names I just mentioned will be the ones that we're talking about Sunday afternoon.
Talking about someone that always delivered, my goodness, today is a birthday for the King, Richard Petty, 83 years old today. And we talked about autographs tonight, Adam, and how his autograph is a work of art. To me, it is the king of all sports figure autographs. There's nothing else like him. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, it's his birthday, and just what a Richard Petty autograph is an amazing thing to see.
I would say that Richard Petty is one of the most iconic sports figures ever. When you think about the cowboy hat and just his persona and the way he carries himself, he's just a special man. And I will say, for the audience listening tonight, if you're not a NASCAR fan and you're curious, is he real? He's one of the most genuine people I have ever been around. Totally what you see is what you get. And to put an exclamation point on that, you bring up the autograph, which is unique, but he signs it the same every time. He takes great pride in that. And we did a story here not too long ago about the King and his autograph. He's estimated to have signed his autograph over 2 million times. And when he does an autograph session, forever he would do it for 2 hours. They're now down to 90 minutes. But when you're willing to spend 90 minutes, 2 hours with a fan signing autographs, it speaks to just how much pride and passion you have with connecting to the fan. So he's an amazing person. A great human being and a wonderful ambassador for NASCAR. And he was pretty good on track, too, with those 200 wins and 7 championships.
Oh, by the way. Do you have a unique autograph item? Do you have a unique autograph item? I mean, you've covered the sport and a lot of sports over the years. Anything you've gotten that you keep and say, yeah, that's the one?
Well, I've gotten a couple of things signed from people that I've worked with. I always feel like that adds a little bit of, you know, there's some added value to that for me, just personally speaking, because of the anecdotes. And I remember last year, Darrell Waltrip worked his final race with NASCAR on Fox at Sonoma. And we all, there were T-shirts made that said, you know, fittingly, boogity, boogity, boogity. And I don't remember if it said DW's last ride, but something to that effect. And his signature line, boogity, boogity, boogity. And we all put the T-shirts on and took a big group photo with the entire team. And I remember when we were done, I went right over to Darrell and had him sign that T-shirt. And having an opportunity to work with Darrell, who's a Hall of Famer, and getting to know him and you know, being able to call him a friend, in addition to being a coworker and having followed him all the years that I have, that's one that I'll cherish for a long time.
Fantastic, fantastic. Great stuff, folks. You know, we had him at nighttime. Now, usually it's early in the morning on weekends, but we had him here late on Friday night. Adam Alexander, thanks so much for the time. As always, it's time well spent with you.
Sam, it's great to be with you. Thanks for reaching out. And you and everyone listening, enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
You and your family do as well. Stay safe.
Thank you.
That is Adam Alexander from FS1 and Fox Sports coverage of NASCAR, dropping some knowledge on us tonight. And, well, we always appreciate it. Always a great time we get a chance to spend with Adam, sharing some with us as they get ready to race at the Brickyard this weekend. Okay, folks, early tonight, we spent some time with Corey McCartney. He was at the Braves workout today at Truist. We're going to have that radio replay for you in just a moment when we come back. Find out more about the Braves, what was said there, and get Corey's thoughts on their first workout as they prepare to play that 60-game schedule and make another run at a postseason spot for Atlanta. That's coming up next when you continue here on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery. On this Friday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We're available through the radio.com app for your smartphones and your smart devices. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Not 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios. Hope you and yours, wherever you may be on this holiday weekend as we celebrate our nation's independence, will be safe and with family. And if you don't have to go out, you know, hey, just stay in and shelter and enjoy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We come your way wherever you are. Take us with you through the radio.com app. It's available for all your smartphones and smart devices as we get you all the information and get you ready for the return of sports and the games. They'll be getting back on the way later on this month. Really, Atlanta United in just a little over a week. Of course, the Braves were back on the field working out today over at Truist. And Corey McCartney, who keeps an eye on all things Atlanta Braves, was there to check it out. Earlier tonight, we spoke with him about it. And I started by asking him how he has been dealing with this time of COVID-19.
Hey, we're all, Sam. Everyone's healthy. I appreciate it. You know, just like everyone else, just was waiting out this back and forth between the union and baseball to get things going. And it's gotten here the first day of summer camp, but no ghost stories around the campfire, no s'mores. It's baseball's version of summer camp, anything but what we used to have when we were kids.
Wow. And I'm hearing in your voice, do I detect a bit of frustration in your voice about how this whole thing is going? You know what? You're sounding like everybody else, man. You really are. Thoughts about that, and how are the fans really going to be? Are you sure we want to see baseball? But my goodness, the process of getting here, you know, it just left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right there. And certainly this back and forth, when you think about, you know, the collective bargaining agreement ending December 2021, we're going to be right back in this same place with these two sides trying to have a conversation that seems like neither side really wants to have. I really wish they would have got it sorted out where we could have had that expanded postseason. I think just the fact that you're seeing 60 games means someone who's really good is not going to be playing for a championship this year. But, you know, obviously they're back and we're going to see baseball, but it's going to feel like an NFL sprint to the finish line and not that marathon that we're used to. So if you're a baseball fan who says, I like the sport, but the season's way too long, well, unfortunately for you, 2020 has got you covered, but I think for the rest of us, it's just going to feel a lot different.
It will. Joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, Corey McCartney, Talking Chop. Always keep an eye on things with the Braves. Okay, today they're on the field. You heard from some people afterwards. A lot of people watching Cole Hamels today, and rightfully so. Some thoughts about some things that would mean that things are going well for him.
Yeah, I mean, he got, you know, you hate to say that anyone benefited from the layoff, but I think if anybody on that Braves roster did benefit from extra time off, it was Cole Hamels. I mean, remember, you know, he had had the setback and, you know, obviously the offseason shoulder issue and wasn't expected to be back until late May. But now he's expected to be a full, ready-to-go member of this rotation. And that's just to this team's benefit. I mean, Alex Anthopoulos told us last week they were really set up to maybe go as much as 10 deep in the rotation, especially early on when they have that 30-man roster before they cut it down to 24 after 4 weeks. And, you know, having shorter stints from the starters. But Hamill's going to be, you know, one of those guys that's able to give him some meaningful innings right away. And that's not something that, you know, we necessarily thought we were hearing, back in February.
So that is something, a plus for the team. What about this designated hitter? Will it really work at this particular Braves team's advantage, as some people think it may?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, remember, a lot of the conversations that we were having back in the spring was, okay, what do you do at third base between Austin Riley and Johan Camargo? What do you do in the outfield where you've already stated, Anthopoulos did, that Marcelo Ozuna and Ronald Acuña Jr. are your two everyday guys, and you've got Ender Inciarte, you've got Nick Markakis, you've got Adam Duvall, and then you've got whoever doesn't win that third base battle. So this kind of alleviates some of those issues. Now, if you want to go and play righty-lefty matchups, if you just want to make sure that your best bats stay in the lineup, this really, I think, in a lot of ways is going to free Brian Snicker up to kind of approach things from a different perspective. And I'm going to say it right now, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think this is something that the players' union wants. It ultimately means more high-dollar players earning high dollars as opposed to another arm and a bullpen. So I think it's going to be here to stay, and I think the Braves are going to be pretty well suited to handle the designated hitter in 2020.
Well, he's working with Talking Chop. He's also an author of the Braves, Tales from the Dugout with the Atlanta Braves. It's Corey McCartney. You can follow him. He is social. He is on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. Now, Corey, that said, a 60-game schedule, and it's going to be basically regional. Talk about the matchups that we're going to get in the American League. For a time, we thought they were going to have another configuration where it'd be the teams in the Central, but now it seems like just in the East. Thoughts about those matchups and how the Braves would match up with those particular teams from the other side?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you think about, you know, of those 60 games, 40 of them are coming against the Marlins, Mets, Nationals, and Phillies. And I'm, you know, not advocating anybody going out and putting money down on anything, but when you look at the Vegas projections, teams at 31 or more wins, they have the Nationals at 33.5, the Mets at 32.5, and Philly at 31.5. Atlanta and Washington both 33.5. The NL East is the only division with three teams forecasted at 32.5 wins or more. And then you take on the fact that you're going to face the American League East, and you've got the Yankees who are slated at 38.5 for their over-under, the Rays at 33.5, the Red Sox at 31.5. This is a gauntlet. I mean, it really is. And it's hard. No other division has a worse setup than the National League East does because of the depth of its own division and who they're taking on. So it's going to be a tough road for the Braves. And we knew the division was tough already, but you add in facing the Yankees four times and the Rays and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, who are getting better too. This is going to be a tough road.
What's about that when you talk about games and what they mean, whereas one loss could almost be like several losses in a normal season. So it ramps up the intensity. Really to go out and you know, there's not saying you take nights off anyway, but because you have so many more games, say, okay, we lose this one, we'll get them next. It's a game one of a 3-game set. It's game one of a 4-game set. This is a little bit different, and you got to really, I think, manage in a postseason style. I mean, do you do that right from the start, or how long can you play before you start managing your team the way you would late September into October?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid question. I think that's something that, you know, Brian Snicker's really going to have to take to heart here, is because you can't have, you know, if a guy has a couple bad game stretch or somebody's in a slump, I mean, you can't really afford to just let a guy work his way out of it. I mean, every game is going to matter in a different way now. So I think you're going to have to manage accordingly. And I think the fact they're talking about, you know, piggybacking starters and having a group that goes two or three innings and a group behind them that goes two or three to get you to that really stacked bullpen. I think from a pitching standpoint, I think this team's really well situated to handle that. And as you start to build up, you know, Mike Soroka and Fulton Evich and Freed Hamels, as you start to build up those guys' innings, I think you're gonna have the capabilities because you have so many arms to kind of almost manage early on like it's the postseason, kind of have that period where guys have built themselves up, and then let's do it all over again when October gets here.
Looking like we may start some games, and the starter may go three innings, and you go to your someone else, maybe your long reliever. The way we've seen postseasons be managed in recent years, you know, like you said, you have more talent, you have more arms, you want to bring them along gradually. I think it's, you know, the strategy to me is something that could be really intriguing, I think, as you watch the way things play out for this season. That's part of things that I'm really, really looking forward to with this configuration for baseball.
Yeah, and one thing I think is of interest there is that, you know, Brian Snicker's always kind of been the kind of guy who people have roles, right? You know, and I remember Jim Johnson, when he was the closer of this team, he said, you know, one thing I really like about Snit is that you have your spot, and you have your spot in the bullpen. Well, they kind of changed that the last couple of years as Anthopoulos has come in and analytics have become more of it. And it hasn't necessarily been pushed hard on the coaching staff, but they've been kind of led in directions to say, this is what the numbers tell us. I think we saw last year some more flexibility. And now you have six different guys who have closing experience in this group: Shane Green, Luke Jackson, Mark Melancon, Chris Martin, Darren O'Day, Will Smith. That's going to allow you, too, when you start thinking about trying to fit 60 games into 66 days. I mean, the innings are going to build for those bullpen arms. So I think having that depth in that area, too, I mean, I think this all plays into something that's well-suited for this team.
How are these guys today with the distancing and the things? You know how close guys are to the baseball team. They used to be and close to each other, and they're kidding around and jostling around, you know, in between workouts when they're all on the field. What was that looking like?
Well, I think Dansby Swanson put it best when he said, everything that came natural to us is no longer accepted. You know, just the fact of high-fiving a guy, just, you know, hugging somebody when you haven't seen them in months, just all the things that you expect when you're, you know, in that close-knit environment of being around a baseball team. I mean, you know, Cole Hamill said you saddle up to a guy and you just talk about baseball, but all that stuff's kind of out the window right now, and it's just, you know, a very different vibe. But you know, Swanson went on to say they just have to embrace this change, and they have to kind of find a way to do it all together. So the right mindset's there, but I mean, it's going to be much different, I think, when the games themselves are happening and moments are elevated and, you know, just no spitting, no, you know, all the stuff that we kind of expect, you know, to see in a baseball game. And when a guy's in the middle of that action, how do they kind of remove themselves from that? So I think there's going to be hiccups along the way, but certainly today, just a little bit of an oddity. You know, Hamill said, you're so used to having that energy when you show up to the stadium, but you've been checked so many times by the time you get to the parking lot, to the clubhouse, and all these little, you know, procedures that it kind of start to get a little bit of tired of it already.
No spitting, baseball. Who knew? plus, what happens to the handshake with the owner, with the managers before the game when they exchange the lineup cards? What happens to that?
Well, they'll just rub elbows. You know, it's like the chicken dance. They'll just be rubbing elbows at home plate.
Either way, the countdown is on to the start of the Major League Baseball season. We finally can see it, some light at the end of the tunnel. We're finally going to get the guys out there to play. And my goodness, they're on the field practicing and preparing for it. I'm excited for it. And, you know, I'm just as frustrated as you've been, Corey, but I want to see them get out and play. I know what we potentially have with our team here. And like you said, it's going to be a challenging schedule, but I want to see if they're up to it. I mean, you know, in the last couple of years, people said, it was a fluke the first time, and they weren't going to get second time, and they went and did it again. So this is just another obstacle, another challenge for this Braves team.
Yeah, and, you know, as Hamels went on to say today, I mean, people are going to wonder, are they going to play the games? Are they going to get through the entirety of the season? You know, we always hear from a baseball player, you can only control what you can control. And I think these guys right now, it's just, let's get prepared to go again. Let's eye a late July start, July 23rd, 24th, and see what happens. You know, I think we all hope that they get through the entirety of the season and that this Braves team's able to, you know, defend and win a third straight division title. They certainly have the pieces to do it, and just hope everyone stays healthy and the games can continue to be played.
Corey, been having some fun with our listeners tonight. I'm talking about unique autographed items. I don't know if you have something that's an autographed item. You, like me, you don't get a chance to get many things autographed because our credentials and our press passes don't allow us to get them, at least at the stadiums and at the fields. But anything that you've been able to collect that's a really unique autographed item in your time?
So a few years ago at Fox Sports South, our show Chopcast Live, we went to winter meetings and we ran into Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. And we did a segment with him, we're kind of tossing it back to the day Zach Morris and all this stuff. And then we got done. He was adamant that he needed to sign pictures for us. So Mr. Belding is my off-the-wall autograph item.
Wow. Things you don't expect, right? That's
right.
Pretty amazing. Corey, we thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Friday night. You're sharing the excitement. We share in your frustration over what it took to get to this point, but we also share your excitement as what we're about to start with this baseball season and what potentially we could get with our Atlanta Braves. We certainly want something. And the last time we saw the team has left a really nasty taste in our mouth, that game against the Cardinals. And nothing gets that done than getting the team back on the field. To get out and play. So I'm just excited about it. And thanks so much for joining us on this Friday night to give us the latest from out at the ballpark.
You got it, Sam. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Corey McCartney. And don't forget, he is social. He is on Twitter. You can follow him at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. And, man, all season long, he's going to be keeping you up with things that are happening with the Braves and keeping an eye on the team. And so I'm looking forward to so many things with baseball. We're going to be facing the Yankees. We'll get to face the Red Sox. What happens elsewhere around the baseball? You know, I'm still saying the thing that we've been taken away from us. We haven't had a chance to boo the Astros. We haven't had a chance to boo the Astros, man. Weren't you looking forward to that? I know I was. Maybe we'll finally get out. Hope people haven't forgotten. Hope they haven't. They're going to remember that the Astros deserve to be booed often. We'll talk more about this and talk baseball. And, we're going to come back next. Dylan and I are going to talk a little bit about our baseball autographs. We got one that we share, same person, and more listening that we have, what your favorite unique autograph item is as we continue on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, available through the radio.com app for your smartphones and all of your smart devices. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. I've been sitting in for John Chuckery on this Friday night, sitting in the past two nights. For John Chuckery, not in our usual place of the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios. So I'm glad he let me hang out. I don't think we've broken anything or, broken any laws or anything. I think we're going to leave everything in pretty good shape as we get set to wrap things up here tonight. Don't forget, Sports Radio 92.9 is available through the radio.com app, available for all your smartphones, smart speakers, smart devices. If you have to move around, you're going to be out going places, don't forget to take us along with you this weekend so we can keep you abreast of things that just happened. The world, as we know, is just changing by the moment with all the things that are going on. And today, just a number of things that are happening. My goodness, we talk about a top recruit in high school and Makura Maker. Deciding to attend Howard University. That's a groundbreaking thing that takes place. Also in Washington, there's talk of actually now looking into a new name for the Washington NFL franchise. That's something that we talked about. There continues to be a little bit of a concern about the players going to play in the bubble in the NBA. Victor Oladipo, now another big name player who is saying he is not going to play in the bubble there. So it's something else to watch and be aware of. Braves back on the field. You just heard our interview, a radio replay from earlier this evening with Corey McCartney. They're keeping an eye with the Braves as they get back to work and get set to play this 60-game season, a short season, an abbreviated season. But a whole lot can happen in a short period of time with this baseball season that's coming up. And after all the bickering and going back and forth, they're finally going to put it out on the field and play games. And so we're very excited about that. And then, of course, Adam Alexander joins us at the top of the hour, bringing us the latest on some breaking news out of NASCAR that Jimmy Johnson, the seven-time champion, has tested positive for COVID-19. He will not be driving this weekend at the Brickyard for NASCAR's annual stop at Indianapolis. Of course, no fans will be at that race. It's for the first time they're going to have both NASCAR and IndyCar series racing at the same place on the same weekend. IndyCar will race on the road course layout. Of course, they're still going to have the Indianapolis 500 coming up later this summer, but they're going to drive a road course layout. The Xfinity Series will also drive that road course layout tomorrow and on Sunday on the regular oval. The NASCAR Cup Series will take off there, so great to have those things. But just sad that Jimmy Johnson missing his first race, really, since 2001, I think, when he first really started. He has been steady Eddie. He has shown up every week. I mean, of course, that's how you win seven championships, right? You show up every week. So that's what he's been able to do. But he will miss this week's event and perhaps the next one's coming up at Kentucky as well. We'll have to wait and see how that pans out and if he's able to get back into the chase to make the playoffs, as this is his final season as an active driver. And we certainly want to see him go out in the champion form, the championship form that he has shown us throughout his career. But this is a holiday that we're having tomorrow, and a lot of things we are accustomed to having in Atlanta we will not have. And I mentioned and corrected by our boss last night when I mentioned normally, many July 4ths, I've spent working at our Key Studios in Midtown and nine floors up and with a great view north on Peachtree and always able to see the Peachtree Road Race, first seeing the wheelchair participants. They get the start before everybody else, and then the elite men, world class, and the elite women, runners come through from around the world. This international field that always assembles, and you got a great vantage point there, nine floors up, just to watch them come through. And it's always a great sight to see. And then after the elite runners come, then comes the big wall of running people, which is just amazing. And some of the outfits the people run the event in is just, sometimes that's just something that's worth watching, finding you a good vantage point to watch anyway. Of course, the Peachtree Road Race has been rescheduled for Thanksgiving week, and this will be later on, so it won't be as hot. And you wonder what kind of outfits they're going to wear. And they wear something a little different, and maybe a little pilgrim outfit or something, or running turkeys or something. And, just not trying to give anybody any ideas, but just the fact that that's the holiday that will be. But normally is how we celebrate Independence Day here in Atlanta. That and then usually have a Braves baseball game. And we're not going to have that, sadly, this time. Either the Braves are working out, but no games on this weekend. A lot of other things that we're used to having won't be happening. I've been checking the list of what exactly is going on around here. We got, a virtual celebration out in Powder Springs. I think we got a virtual celebration down in East Point, too, I think. Yes, yeah, salute to the red, white, and blue. It's a virtual thing. You can tune in and watch that, go online and watch it, I suppose, if you want to. I think there are fireworks right now scheduled, I think, up in Cherokee County. I think there's some up in Woodstock. Yep, they are going to try to go ahead and have a fireworks from 9 to 10 tomorrow. But most of the traditional fireworks have been postponed. Are just been called off, not going to take place. The old 4th Ward fireworks, Ponce Market, and none at Centennial Olympic Park. The big celebration we normally see out at Stone Mountain Park. In Roswell, always in Sandy Springs, usually have big celebrations. The neat thing is if you get yourself parked strategically in just the right spot on the 4th of July, you can see so many of the different fireworks displays. My favorite spot is always out near Six Flags because, if you're coming eastbound on I-20 and you top over that crest right there at Six Flags and you see the skyline of the city laid out in front of you, and if you park in just the right spot, first of all, you're going to see the Six Flags fireworks. They usually have fireworks at Six Flags. And then you can look out through the city and just see the different ones taking place from Buckhead all the way down to downtown. Even you look further enough, you can see Stone Mountain. To me, that's always one of my favorite vantage points for 4th of July. I just want to go and see all the fireworks around town. Unfortunately, you go there tomorrow night, you're not going to see too much. But I have a feeling, as I'm hearing outside my house, and you may be hearing outside yours, some of your neighbors may have taken it on themselves to provide you with a bit of fireworks entertainment. Not saying that you would like it, but you probably get it anyway. Since fireworks. A lot of people take it on themselves to have their own little fireworks celebration. So maybe that's what we're going to get them all. It will be a little bit more. I'm sure the pets don't care for it very much. I'm sure it disrupts them late at night and probably, frightens in some of them. But that's what we have coming up because we don't have our normal. A different time indeed, but think of that and there's still much to celebrate. We are thankful for this virus now for a number of months, and it seems like now with things spiking, they still have more work ahead of them. So we applaud them and their efforts to do what's by the virus. People who keep things moving in just through the community, public safety workers, police, fire, and emergency rescue personnel that are always around, EMT. They don't get a time off. If there's a matter, that they still have to report to their jobs, and we appreciate them doing it very, very much. I am back Sunday morning. Greg Clarkson and I will be here. Don't forget, Sam and Greg are back. We will be on Sunday morning. Things that have happened, who knows what happens between now and then in the sports world and just in this world in general. So we'll be here to greet you. We'll talk about some great things. NASCAR's happening that day. I think we'll have some thoughts maybe on the Corky Kell Classic. Maybe we'll talk about that some. People talk about high school. Are they going to start on time? We will see because the state of Tennessee slid their start date back a week this week. But right now, Georgia's planning to start high school football on time. We will talk about that Sunday as well as Braves, Atlanta United, NBA, who's going in the bubble, who's not. That's all coming up on a Sunday, if you will be with us. Okay. Dylan Matthews. Hey, Dylan.
Yes, sir.
You there?
I'm here, man. We got.
I just want to say exemplary. I'm just going to say exemplary work, man. Thanks so much for everything.
No problem. Oh, we got one more. We got one last thing to do. We're coming back one more time, Sam. We got one last thing to do.
Oh, one last thing. Okay. We'll stay tuned.
Yeah, we got one last thing to do. This wouldn't be the John Chuckery show if we didn't do what's coming up next.
Okay. We'll do that. You stay with us. Stay tuned. Coming up, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Had to get a little sip there to get my voice right for this. Had you been with me on this Friday night, Sam Crenshaw sitting again for John Chuckery. And yeah, of course, the 10 o'clock hour is the Brown Liquor Hour. In case you missed it, hey, be careful if you are spending time with the Brown Liquor this weekend, as some people didn't work today and won't work tomorrow and won't work Sunday and probably won't work Monday. You know, this was. Some people are getting a chance to do. Can, that's great. As long as you keep it safe. As Greg Clarkson loves to remind everybody, it's one of those amateur weekends. You know, holidays come and people decide to participate a little more in liquid substances a little more than they normally would. And Some people don't know their own limits, or they know their limits and they go over it. Make sure somebody else is there to do the driving if you're going to be out and on the road. Just say, hey, as Greg loves to say, we ain't got time to come to the hospital to see nobody. We just want to do stuff on the radio. Greg and I will be here, like I said earlier. We will be here Sunday morning from 6 until 10 and bring you up to speed on everything that's happened in the world of sports. And hope you'll be with us as we set the stage for another Sunday. Let's see what all we got going on. We got racing going on. We got soccer happening internationally. We got golf that's going on. Let me see. We have some boxing, maybe some UFC this weekend. So some things that happen, some sporting events, but we're waiting, you know, next weekend we'll have MLS getting ready to get going again. And then by that time, the NFL players will be in the camp. Baseball's happening. Basketball's going to happen. So that's all happening. The month of July is a big one. And day by day, you know, things are going to be changing. You want to keep it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for the very latest as the games get set to return. We've been waiting a long time. We've been waiting a long time for these games to return. And, you know, right now it looks like fans won't be able to go, so it's going to be a viewed event or a listened event until they can get people back in and watch. And don't forget, there is one event with live fans going on. The DraftKings All-American event is taking place with the top 8 American tennis players. Continues tomorrow with sessions at noon and 6 tomorrow and Sunday at the Lifetime Fitness Tennis Facility in Peachtree Corners. Go there and see some tennis action. 450 fans. You come in and see them. They are selling tickets. So you can go out and spect and be a spectator for this event this weekend. That's going to do it once again. Dylan Matthews, exemplary work behind the glass. And stay tuned. Next up, JR Sports Beat and CBS Sports Overnight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.